do I say goodbye to what we had? The good times that made us laugh outweigh the bad. I thought we'd so hard to say goodbye to yesterday.
Wow. Good evening, everybody. We are here to talk about something I just did not see coming. It was on Sunday afternoon, or maybe late morning and early afternoon, when I along with everybody else found out that one of the all-time greats in the NBA, Kobe Bean Bryant, and his daughter Gianna perished in a helicopter crash along with several colleagues, including a very well celebrated baseball coach coaching at OCC, I think that is a community college down in Orange County, by the name of John Attabelli. And he and his wife were on that helicopter as well, alongside their daughter, Alyssa. And all of them were headed to the Mamba Center for a basketball tournament. And with them were additional folks who were colleagues, and they were also involved in the tournament. And the helicopter pilot, by the name of Ara, let's see, I want to make sure I get this right. By the name of Ara Zaboyan, they all died on Sunday afternoon. So on this really, really somber note, we say good day to all of you. And I bring in our co-hosts normally on the NBA report, but here for the special tonight. And Chris, good evening. How's it going tonight?
Hey, Dave. Good. How are you?
I'm fine.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm fine. I mean, we're doing all right. I mean, you know, even 2 days is kind of a lot. It's still pretty soon to absorb the impact of somebody that big in the NBA going, losing his life, and but even worse is losing their young daughter, and just what a horrible time it must be for Vanessa Bryant and the rest of the family, and same thing for the Attabelli family. Losing the father, the mother, and then one of the sisters, you know, two other children, I believe, are back at home, just mourning over the whole thing, and then a few others. I'm gonna name everybody on this flight because I feel like they deserve their due. So we obviously know Kobe Bryant. I mean, just as I said, probably in my lifetime and in Chris's lifetime, probably one of the three best players we've ever seen play. Maybe two, because you have MJ and Kobe, and I guess LeBron, so then that would be three. Yeah, that would be three. And so it's just impossible that this could have happened. You know, it was so crazy that when I was told about it, you know, by a friend of mine, you know, I think Sharon texted me first about it, and I thought, this had to be a Twitter hoax. I was waiting just to make sure that it was real, but it was indeed real. So those are obviously the two biggest names involved. John Attabelli, who had won multiple college baseball championships, coached for 27 years and known to be a mentor in his own right, as long as Kobe was for basketball. His wife, Carrie Attabelli, just sat incredibly painful that she was on there too, along with their daughter Alyssa Attabelli, Christina Mauser, a mother, wife, and a girls' basketball coach, along for the ride. Obviously, they were on their way to the same destination. Peyton Chester, who is an eighth grader, and was on one of the teams, and Sarah Chester, the mother of Peyton Chester, on the same flight. And I mentioned the pilot, Ara Zaboyan, a tremendous pilot, and they're all gone on one unfortunate day in the fog, in Calabasas. I mean, I drive by Calabasas a lot, and it seems like a peaceful place, and not the place you think of for one of the greatest tragedies in sport. But here it is, and a lot of people throughout the NBA, sending their thoughts, you know, sending their prayers to the families back in their respective homes. Three families affected by this tragedy, but one other family, the family of sports. And it's incredible. Obviously, you know, I'm a Laker fan, so this one really, really hurts. It's hard to think about a guy like Kobe, who was bigger than life, who had represented so much of the game and wanted to grow the game and continued to grow the game by way of these, of the Mamba Center, and by way of these tournaments and getting his daughter Gianna involved and teaching her the game, and the bond they seemed to have was pretty evident. It felt quite strong, and that's tough. That's just tough. I mean, I didn't know Kobe. I mean, I don't think you did either, Chris, unless you know, I just didn't know.
No, I didn't know him.
But, I mean, L.A. has just been bumming out for like 2 days solid. It's incredible. Like, I mean, the massive number of people at Staples Center right now, even during a Grammys telecast, like they were just out there paying their respects, giving, you know, flowers and jerseys and little handwritten condolences, grievances, thank yous to the Black Mamba, who is no longer with us. It's impossible to think about that. Like, I still don't believe it actually happened. It's just crazy. One of my friends texted me, one of the most shocking sports deaths that we'll ever see. And so, I mean, those are just the initial thoughts. I've certainly others, but Chris, I mean, I know you rooted against Kobe for many years as a Celtic fan, but I know that the respect for what he brought to the table as a ball player is still incredibly strong. So, you know, I know you've seen a lot of the NBA's history as well. I'll give it to you for some thoughts.
Yeah, you're right. I was not a Kobe fan. And, you know, not just as a player, I just really... I don't know. After the whole rape thing, I just didn't look at the guy the same way. And I think too, it's part of it was just like, you know, Jordan for me was, you know, when he was coming up, I was a kid and he was older than me and Kobe was younger than me. And I just didn't kind of look at sports the same way, but yeah, you're right. I mean, I think, you know, his place in history is undeniable. As a basketball player, not too many better than him, in the history of the game. But yeah. And then I think about, it was the 2010 finals when they, was it 2010? It was 2010, right?
When they beat
the Celtics in like seven games.
Yeah.
Although actually Gasol had that big game seven, but Kobe, of course, you know, for the balance of the series was great. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think you said it well. I mean, when you said that, you know, it's as big a shock as, you know, a death in the sports world. I can't disagree. I'm trying to think of something else. I mean, you know, the Roberto Clemente thing happened the year I was born. Mm-hmm. And he was, of course, still playing. I mean, he was his career wasn't even over. And, yeah. But I mean, of course he, you know, as great a star as he was and, as much as he meant to the Latin community and the Puerto Rican community, he was, I hope I got that right. It was Puerto Rico, right? Clemente.
Yeah.
He wasn't on the same tier, as a star in the sport as Kobe was. So yeah, I think you're right. I can't think of anything like that. And I had the same response. I was like, I need about five different people to confirm this before I'm going to believe this happened. So yeah, it's a real shock. It's very sad. You feel sad for his family. I think it's a tragedy that strikes all over the place. The Altobelli, who was on the plane, his son is actually a scout with the Red Sox. I don't know if you knew that little bit. And I think the family is actually from Massachusetts, if I'm not mistaken.
That seems right, because the Red Sox were sent some real condolences to the family on Twitter, and they said they were going to really pull out all the stops and trying to, you know, care for the remainder, you know, the widows and the ones that are left over.
Yeah. And then the other thing, the other point too, and I'll turn it back over to you, is just that, you know, you just think about it, just how horrible this is for the families, really. Yeah. And the first thing, you know, we didn't know any details. It was just like, okay, this helicopter crash and Kobe was on board. We didn't know how many people were on. We didn't know, you know, who was flying. We didn't know anything. Is it Kobe's helicopter? Whatever. And, you know, my first thought, and I mean, honestly, it's just more as a parent, is just like, well, wow, how many kids? I knew he had kids. I didn't know how many. I didn't know that much about him, his personal life, but I knew he had children, and I knew he was married. And I was just, my first thought was like, wow, you know, it's like, that's really horrendous. You know, he's got some kids. Again, I didn't know how many, who are probably pretty young, probably, you know, some of them same age as my kids, and just, they're going to grow up without a father. And that's really horrendous. And then just, God, when you think about, you know, this 13-year-old girl and her life was ahead of her, and she, you know, that's it, just cut short. I mean, Kobe was 41. It's not like he was old either. But, man, you think of someone whose life was really just beginning in a way.
Yeah.
It's horrendous. I don't know. I didn't know what to say. But yeah, just an awful tragedy. Just one of those things where you kind of know where you were when you heard it, and you won't forget. And the sports world is saddened.
Yeah, I made some points. You know, speaking on some of the things you said earlier, that addressed similar topics when I wrote my email to my longtime friends Andrew and Jacob. Who I think we're going to hear from at least one of them in a couple of days when we do our Super Bowl coverage, but that was the first email I wrote, you know, in response to this tragedy, and it was just hours after it happened, and when I wrote in there is that I don't have any real idea how good Kobe is as of a guy. Because of what you mentioned in Colorado, it's just like, I have no idea. Like and that was something I wanted to definitely point out as I was doing my own little obit, because nobody really knows how good anybody really is in life. But I will say a couple things though. In addition to that, number one, he was one of the greatest competitors in any sport. And what's key to that is that he was. Nobody worked harder to be great like he did. I think even Michael Jordan might not have worked quite as hard as Kobe did. No, he was really, really dedicated to winning and to competing. And that always stuck with me. Like, I think if nothing else, I can appreciate his work ethic. And there were very few people even then that had that kind of work ethic, and there's even less now, I think, in sports. But everybody works hard, but to the level that he did, it was special, and that definitely stuck with me. Number two, as I wrote here in this email, he loved Gianna. He loved his daughters, and you could see on the Instagram he was putting them on there a lot. I'm not going to defend what he did in Colorado, but maybe things have changed since that time, and he changed perhaps as a person. Doesn't make what happened right, certainly not. I mean, I know that, and any Laker hater will keep bringing that up, and I get it, but that was number two. Like, he seemed to be, at least from what little I know, he seemed to be genuinely interested and caring about his family. Number three, he has and continues to get so much respect from everybody around the NBA. And it was really something, like seeing other players, you know, doing the 24-second violations and the 8-second violations in honor of his two numbers. And even Doc Rivers, oh my goodness, my heart was breaking. Poor guy, like the way, just trying to break that down. And he broke down in the middle of that. And I felt so bad for Doc. That guy, I don't even know if I want to do my intro anymore because of how bad I felt for him. Like that was so real and from the heart. So that just basically summarizes my thoughts. I mean, nobody's perfect, and I am not even about to say that anybody ever is a saint, and Kobe certainly was not a saint. I will concede that. I've done that numerous times over the years. But when I hear from people who, as we've just mentioned, rooted against him, when I hear from friends who were big fans of rival teams, you are certainly among that group, offering that level of respect for what he brought to the game and what he brings today with his commitment to excellence and what he had brought to the city of Los Angeles in a lot of ways. It seemed like people did say overwhelmingly that he was giving behind the scenes outside of the sport of basketball, especially after he retired. So I'll never forget that. And what he brought on the court certainly is not easy to forget either. I mean, 5 championships, 3 of them with Shaq, 2 others with Pau Gasol, and Lamar Odom. And it was really quite a journey, and a lot of good moments and a lot of bad moments too. I mean, we know that, but he represented really the benchmark of success for the Lakers in the 21st century more than anybody else. I think Shaq too, but because obviously that set the groundwork and they were never more dominant than when he and Shaq were together. This is why you could feel for the big fella tonight, and reflecting on the ups and downs that they had. And you can respect that too. But when you see games like that, you see the Lakers, you know, beating OKC, you know, you see the Lakers beating, you know, the Spurs, you see the Lakers going out and going toe-to-toe with the Celtics. They lost one series, they won one. You know, that it also brings back memories of your life at that time. And I'm sure you remember it too. Kobe, for me, I guess I wouldn't say he was my boyhood idol, because that's not even possible, because I was, when I was coming of age, I think that was in that little transition period when Magic, also really stunning news at the time, you know, stepped down from the NBA, but before the Shaq-Kobe era. So there's that little period in the middle, which is kind of odd. But I was in high school as a freshman when Kobe entered the league. So we kind of did, from that standpoint, grow into our own together. So his journey, and yeah, it got a little ugly, you know, in about 2004. And then and then when they were bad and Kobe had to single-handedly win games, that was when I was going through college. And then the beginning of my adult life, they were starting to form their new dynasty and win a couple more championships. It was a great day when they beat the Magic that first time. So, you know, a lot of memories, you know, and I'm sure. Interesting, Chris, I think you've been through this a few times too with the Celtics. Like Reggie Lewis, and I forget who the other one was.
Len Bias was the other one.
Oh, Len Bias, yeah.
Never suited up for them.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
For me it was Reggie Lewis because I was college age then.
Yeah.
And he was just kind of like, he had just started to emerge as a star for a few years. I mean, again, not on the same level of Kobe, obviously, but really was like kind of the guy who carried the hope for the Celtics fans after post Bird and that era. And it was, you know, it was pretty bleak. There were a lot of bad years there. So but yeah, that would be who I'd compare it to. Not on the same level.
Right.
As a player, but
yeah, it's just hard to believe. Like truly, like in terms of non-active players, he is the biggest icon the NBA had, and he was just getting started. He was not Kobe, I should speak of. He was ready to go. He was doing all these things with youth basketball. He was starting into his production company. He had spots on ESPN's Detail. I think he created that show. I think that he was the one that created that show.
No, that was his thing. Yeah,
yeah.
It was.
And now other people do it, and you know, you've seen Manning do that show. Of other people doing that show, and it's just amazing. Like the guy was just, he was ready to go. Like he was not. He had so many ideas, and I can appreciate that. He had ideas, and he didn't just have the ideas, but he wanted to do really well in all these projects, and he put everything into it. And that was a symbol of what his. Of what he who he was as a ball player and as a and then as basically as a coach and a dad and as a production guy now or in recent years, he had just wanted to always be the best at everything, and so that, you know, there's a little bit of Magic in him in that regard too, because Magic has always been trying to do that. Like he was, you know, he invested in business and so on. But Kobe was doing, it seemed like he was doing a better job with some of these projects overall. Because, you know, Magic had the terrible TV show and he could not do any, his commentary on NBC was terrible. But you get the idea. Like, it's, he was driven and it never stopped just because he stopped playing basketball. So, you know, there's that. And then the final game, they replayed it last night on ESPN. I was watching the local version on Spectrum Sportsnet and it was incredible. Like, the guy was completely out of gas at the 4-minute mark of the fourth quarter, the 4 minutes remaining in the game. Lakers were down by like 13. And somehow he wills himself to finish the game. And I get it. You know, it's a regular season game. The Lakers are way out of it. They have no shot to make the playoffs. But the last couple minutes of that game was pure magic. Like, that isn't amazing. Like, he was draining these three-pointers, you know, shots at the elbow, and then the Lakers just came back to win the game outright, which is just insane. Like, you're down by like 13 points with 4 minutes to go to Utah. Utah was pretty good back then too. They had your guy Gordon Hayward on the team, and Rudy Gobert. You know, they're still a pretty solid team back then.
Yeah.
And here they were, just somehow coming back to win that game. You'd never seen Staples Center so loud. It was an unforgettable night. And it was just moments like that throughout a 20-year career. It was really incredible. It was his last hurrah. Now you watch it. You watch it like last night, and you see him hugging Shaq. You see him going over to Jack. You see him going over to like Brian Shaw, a bunch of the guys from his past. And it's just unbelievable. It's like, now I look at that, and it's like that's kind of him riding off into the sunset of life, let alone the basketball. So that's why I see that now. So it kind of brought a tinge of sadness to go with what was a really enjoyable evening at the time. So that's really what he represented, like, to me. You know, I get it. Like I said, I didn't know him personally. Like, I don't even know how I would evaluate him as a person generally, but as a basketball, but in terms of what he represented for the sport, he was a huge deal. And I didn't even know how big Hujo deal he was. Like, you're seeing people come out of the woodwork that I didn't even know cared about Kobe, and they're shattering their thoughts. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so sad. And that just gives you an idea how big he was. And there are very few people in sports that can do that for a city. And especially now, like, where guys are just changing teams and everything. Like, he was a rare breed, and it was absolutely a privilege to be a part of that career. So just as a fan, so that's what I have. Chris, any other thoughts you had? Thank you for letting me talk too. I really appreciate it.
Oh man, no, this is your moment, man. I don't need to talk about Kobe. I mean, it's really mm-hmm. You're the Laker fan, and this is I couldn't properly eulogize the person, But yeah, I think a couple things resonate with me. One, what you just said about how he seemed to have a huge impact on a lot of players.
Yeah,
like, and players who he didn't play with, like, but somehow knew, like, for example, Trae Young. I mean, there were guys whose careers he didn't overlap his, but somehow he had an impact on them. And it was, I don't know, I just perusing articles and social media, it seemed like that was almost universal. Guys who he played against, played, you know, Celtics players. Shaq, who he notoriously had fights with and during the Laker year and after.
Right.
I don't know. It seemed like he touched a lot of lives. So, it's got to be genuine, right? I mean,
yeah.
People who actually knew him. The other thing I'll say is, and this is neither here nor there, but I just thought it was interesting how you kind of broke it down. And his career almost kind of fell into three parts, right? I mean, it's like a three-part story. It's a Kobe who comes up in 96 as a, you know, as a rookie out of high school in Philadelphia. And he, you know, he plays with Shaq those years and they win titles in the early, the late, you know, the early 2000s. And then the post-Shaq era, you know, with Gasol and that team, and they beat the Celtics and they beat the Magic. And then it was, you know, it was the team that kind of didn't really materialize when, you know, like Dwight Howard and Steve Nash showed up and things just kind of fell apart. But I don't know why I'm saying this, but I just think it's kind of interesting because it almost neatly breaks down into those sections.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't even know if maybe you don't even look at it that way. I don't know, but I tend to think about Kobe, and then, like, you know, in chapter three is when, you know, when the Achilles injury happens. And his career, like, you know, never really was quite the same.
Yeah.
After that. But,
he tore his Achilles in a game versus the Golden State Warriors. And I think it was in April of whatever season it was. He tried to shoot his two free throws after the fact, which is just absurd to think about. You would try to shoot free throws on a torn Achilles, but that's just who he was. It probably wasn't a good decision, but you could see what kind of heart he had involved. And I think that this defined him more than that word heart, I feel like, defined him as much as anything else did, because nobody ever said he took a game. I mean, unless there was some real acrimonious shit going on, which did happen sometimes. Like, I do remember that he kind of didn't take a shot against one of the game sevens against Phoenix. I mean, that was pretty bad. But overall, his heart was undeniable. Like, you rarely would ever say that he didn't put everything into that game. And it's not easy to do that. And that's just who he was. That's his motor. Now I'm just kind of rambling here, but
no, I think that's a good point. I mean, I think just in my experience watching basketball, I feel like, outside of Jordan and LeBron at times too, but Jordan most of all, Jordan to me just had that killer instinct, and Kobe had it too.
Yeah.
And I mean, LeBron has it too, but earlier in his career, I would have said that, you know, he wasn't on the same level in that regard. I mean, it's all subjective, right? I'm rambling too, but
yeah.
But that was my, as an observer, that was what I took away from him as a player.
Yeah, I'm not even convinced that LeBron has even elevated himself into that area yet, because we're going to find out when we get to the playoffs. That's when we will find out whether he's descended in that area. But in more recent years, he does seem to have that idea that, for example, if his team starts to fall behind early, he didn't always, you know, rally the team back or try to fight his way out of something. So I'm not 100% on that yet, but it's definitely, there are glimpses of it. I've seen him really put up a big game when it's a big spot. So you cannot deny it. That is absolutely the case. So I think that he does have killer instinct. I think when we get into this playoff year, we'll see how much of a degree, how close he is to the other two. But he's great. I mean, LeBron is like I said, he's one of the three best players that we have seen in our lifetime. There's no question. Let me see. Anything else? Okay, so I was just as stunned to see the volume of Laker fans across the country. I've seen, you know, in the 2 days since the tragedy, I had been seeing guys in college basketball games in places like Oklahoma, you know, like Oklahoma and in Virginia and in, you know, in Big Ten country wearing Kobe jerseys, you know, people at every NBA game, every single NBA game I saw, every building, Cleveland had Kobe, got guys with Kobe jerseys. You had Miami, definitely, Orlando, certainly. But then some surprises like Philadelphia. I'm like, wow, really? But I guess that makes sense because he's from...
Well, he's from Philly.
Yeah.
You're not going to see a lot of that in Boston.
I think it is... No, probably not as... Probably not even a little in Boston, but still, Boston...
I mean, there'll be some people.
Maybe like one or two, right? But...
Well, I mean, Jason Tatum loved him. I mean, Jason Tatum had... And really, I mean, these guys grew up worshiping him. It wasn't Jordan because, I mean, I'm getting old, but Jordan wasn't their guy growing up. I mean, it's just that next generation.
No, it makes sense. And then in the next few years, it's going to be LeBron.
It's going to be LeBron, absolutely. Yeah. And that's the way, that's the other thing. I was going to look at it is like, you know, it was Jordan to Kobe to LeBron. And I mean, I know their careers all overlapped or well, LeBron and Jordan did not, but if you put those in sequence, it was, you know, there were margins where they overlapped and a lot of Kobe and LeBron's careers overlapped, but yeah, that's the way I look at it. I look at it, you know, just putting in perspective, it was like those guys were the face of the league during their careers. I mean, it's undeniable. I mean, it was like, you know, Jordan was like growing up, everyone had his shoes. I mean, Jordan to me was like untouchable just because, not untouchable, but he was different in that he kind of got it all rolling in a way because he was the first guy people wanted to wear his shoes, you know.
Right.
There was nothing like that kind of marketing. And it, you know, a lot of it was timing, but a lot of it was the man himself. But Kobe certainly was the next. I mean, there was no one close. I mean, it was just him.
Yeah.
And then LeBron, obviously. So
I wonder who it's going to be exciting to figure out who the next big thing in the NBA will be. And I don't really have a feel for that yet. And I think that's what's exciting about it. It's like, you know, it's not going to be Steph because I think he's.
I was going to say Steph. I was just about to say that, but you don't think so. I guess maybe
The problem is he's already like 30.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I think if he was only 23, I would agree with you, but
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, he's definitely exciting to watch, though. So,
it's going to be Luka, maybe. It might be Luka.
Could be Luka.
Yeah.
I considered Zion, but maybe he's a little big to be that kind of a player long term. You never, but Zion, in terms of like buzz, he seems like he will be that guy if he pans out to the way that the experts have projected him, because he's moving so many needles right now in his early career, and he only played a game, like two games. He's only played like two games.
And, I think he was playing tonight.
Yeah, he's playing against Cleveland, and I was blown away by the point spread. I'm like, they're giving 9 points, like they're giving like 8 points. I'm like, wow, he makes that much of a difference that they're going to be an 8-point favorite on the road, but. Here they are, and I think they're killing them, right? Are they killing the?
They were. I haven't checked the score recently. It might be over. Actually, I think it might be done.
I figure it'd be over by now, but we don't have a complete idea who's going to be the next big thing. But when that next big thing happens, it'll be in that same vein, I'm sure, and that's what's exciting about it. Like, it's too bad that Steph's career overlapped too much with LeBron, because I agree that he's a spectacular player, and he has been a really clutch player, and it's a real shame that we probably don't even give him his due. And strange as that sounds, but
arguably the best shooter of all time,
I mean, a
good assist guy.
Yeah.
The only thing about him is, and the only knock he can have on him is he's You know, like those, all those guys are, you know, 6'5", 6'6". I mean, LeBron's what, 6'7". So they're all kind of like wings, and he's a little smaller. So he doesn't fit that mold, which Luka does. But yeah, you're right. I mean, I tend to think Steph's going to maybe be a little underrated. And maybe just the fact, too, that he was on these, you know, these super teams.
Right, right. But so was LeBron. LeBron was on super teams, too.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. I don't know. I feel like the Heatles weren't.
Not nearly as absurd of a super team.
Right? I mean, like, I feel like with the Warriors, we went into the season every year looking, they're like, okay, well, who's the second best team? And can it possibly be from the East where, you know, you can have a decent finals? Or is it going to, you know, or is it just going to be, you know, the Rockets again? So.
Yeah. So I guess we've ruled out James Harden for the next big thing.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
Let's not mince words here.
And again, he's that, you know, he's in that same age range as Curry, really.
I wouldn't even worry about that. I think the fact is, like, what at the end of the day, what do you have to do to reach that kind of elite status, that kind of Mount Rushmore of the NBA kind of status? You got to win championships, and he hasn't come anywhere close to that so far.
Yeah. Wait, Harden?
Harden, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the other guy, too, could be Giannis. He's already won an MVP. He'll probably win another one this year.
Yeah, he is amazing. He is amazing.
And he's kind of taken the game in a different direction just because we're seeing a big who, I mean, he's, I don't know. I mean, it could have been KD, too. You know, you think about it. KD, like, took too much of a backseat, though, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think that's true. That's very fair. He could have been he could have been very Jordan-like if he had been more aggressive. And not only that, but just more assertive in terms of being a leader. So I think your comment is spot on here.
Yeah. We'll see. I mean, it's exciting. You're right. I mean, it's exciting. We don't know where it'll take us. But if I had to guess, it's probably one of those two guys, Luka or Giannis.
Love it. All right, Chris. Well, thank you very much for coming on. It was nice.
Oh, man. Pleasure was mine, man. I may be a hater, but I do respect him, and I did respect his game. And I do feel the loss there, for the sport. So it was, I don't like the Lakers, but I respect them, and, I respect them this year. And I pretty much, except for like the last 5 years, I've had a lot of respect for the Lakers. So, it is a sad time, and I totally get, well, I mean, I don't get it. I'd kind of have to immerse myself in LA right now to see what it's like, but I understand a little bit of what it is like to lose a star.
Yeah. It's tough. It's a tough week for us. And, you know, we're going to do our best to rally back. And I know the Lakers are going to have a nice second half of the season. The NBA and the Lakers, I think, mutually decided to postpone tonight's game against the Clippers, which I would have liked to have seen played. I would have been fine with it. I mean, I certainly understand them postponing it, but had they played it tonight, that could have been a very interesting game, certainly an emotional night. But all the respect to the Lakers for giving it another couple days. They will resume their season in that regard on Friday against the Trailblazers, and that will be a very, very, very emotional night, Chris. And
so wait, when are they playing that Clippers Lakers game?
I think they're still working on that. Like, I don't think they've even thought about that yet, but they will probably just throw it in there. Like, if there's an off day, I mean, that's a relatively easy game to schedule because it's in Staples.
Yeah, I was going to say, it doesn't get any easier than that.
Yeah. I mean, you could even just throw it in the off day between the end of the regular season and the playoffs. Like, that. There's a lot of ways you can reschedule that game. So I think they'll figure it out. So that should be fun. You know what? They don't play it, though. If for whatever reason they can't play that game, they'll have played 81 games, which is the number of points Kobe scored as his
career
high. That's weird, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, thank you, Chris. I appreciate that. It helps. I mean, it's nice to talk basketball with you as always.
Absolutely. No, it's fun. Sorry it's under sad circumstances, but we're having a great season, and we'll get back to hoops talk next time.
Yeah, thank you. I look forward to that week as well. We'll be returning and getting back to our usual beat. So until then, all the best to the family and you. Take care, my friend.
Same to you. Take care, Dave.
Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, so that's Chris in Georgia. And thank you, guys. Thanks for listening tonight. Never easy to go through something like that. Even as a fan, but more so as someone who was personally and directly affected by such incredible tragedy. So with that, I say goodnight, and thank you. You can find us on Twitter at DidCow, on the web at DidCow.com. Search for Dave in the City Out West. And all the best to all of you. Take care. I hope it's worth all the pain. It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday.